Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. This is going to be a very short episode. I've been delinquent, but it's not because I haven't been wanting to record. It's because I've had to do a lot. We've had guests over for some of the weekends and had to get the house ready for that. And then my mother-in-law passed away, so we've been driving back and forth to New Mexico a lot. And I want to get this show back on track, and I think it will eventually, but I can't promise through the summer that it will. I know in the winter I'll be able to catch up a little bit more. I know those of you that do listen to this podcast, I hope you don't go away. I hope you check in from time to time, but I understand if you do, because I do that when my podcasts fade. I go on to other pastures. That's how I discovered Does It Come in Chromium? And I started listening to that. And some of the other podcasts I just let go because they just stopped publishing. So, yeah, I get it. And I've been trying to keep Geek Brunch up at a minimum. I'm recording this the weekend before Heroes Con. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also kind of out of my element this year in the fact that I've been going with Bill, my co-host, for so many years that it's just going to be weird not having him there because he usually shares a room with us, with me and Barb. Last year, we went. And Barb didn't go because she's been dealing with her mom. And the year before that, I think we went to Baltimore and did not go to Heroes. So I'm looking to see a lot of new people. Some of the friends I met from the Not Near Mint YouTube channel and seeing a couple of them. Seeing Andy Tom again. I hope to hang out with him more than I did, because I always have a good time with Andy. He drew me some commissions too. He drew me like a Mr. Miracle and something else. He really is an awesome artist. He used to be on Collected Comics Library, which I used to listen to regularly. Speaking of collected editions, I was just looking at the DC Ultra app, which I've been using regularly. A matter of fact, even though I have the comics, you don't know how convenient it is to like look up shit and read it like on the fly. Like Does It Come in Chromium? The last few DC comics, he covers a lot of DC comics. I've been able to go there and read the New Guardians and read the Guy Gardner and read, you know, the books that they're covering while they're recording and just like interacting in a different kind of fashion. And it really enhances the experience. A matter of fact, they were covering a Wild Thing from Marvel UK. And the first thing I did was go to the Marvel app and see if I could see Wild Thing number one. And they didn't have it, unfortunately. But most of the time with the DC stuff, I've been lucking out because they did Adventures of Superman, I think 600, 500. I can't remember what it was. And I've just been able to like jump right in and follow along, which is a lot of fun when you're listening to a podcast. The thing I like about Does It Come in Chromium is it is not like, other than the book that they're covering, it seems like ad hoc, like on the spur of the moment and unscripted. And I've always liked that. That's what Geek Brunch has been based on. That's what this podcast has been based on. It is kind of like the lazy man's podcast in the fact that you don't have to do homework. You don't have to like structure it to, you know, work on writing a script or anything. You just get in front of the mic and just record your thoughts. And I've always liked that. And that's what it seems to me that they do. Matt Anderson, he records with somebody else. It seems unscripted other than the book that they're covering, and they go off on tangents. And that's what I've always been about, go off on tangents. It makes things feel like a natural conversation. And I was listening to my own podcast, which I never do anymore. I used to. And I can't believe how many F-bombs I let fly. I apologize. I get excited sometimes, and it's just like F this and F that. And I wasn't cognizant of it. And the reason I'm not cognizant of it is because I work in a lab, and we're kind of like a family in there. There's a handful of us that are always in there, and we talk like we talk. And recently we had a competition to see who throws the most F-bombs, and we're trying not to win it. And I guess naturally I say it a lot. Like I'm tied for the lead, and I don't want to be tied for the lead. So I'm kind of like making it like, if I say it so much, it's going to become more and more natural, and I don't want it to be natural, and there's nothing wrong with saying that word. I'm just trying not to. And it's been tough, especially when I read an email and it's just pisses me off, you know, at work. But sometimes you just say WTF, you know, and you instinctively say it, and I say it out loud, and I shouldn't say it like that. But anyway, we're getting ready for Heroes, and one of the questions that is, how do you prepare for Heroes? And to tell you the truth, I've never prepared for Heroes. I prepare for Heroes like I prepare my podcast. I don't, and I kind of just let it fly. And I don't get signatures, so that's no longer an issue. I'd rather take a suitcase. Instead of taking a suitcase full of comics to get signed, I would rather come back with a suitcase of comics I just bought, if that makes sense. So I don't take things to get signed. If I do get something signed, it's just coincidence. I've never been into signatures. I used to be heavily into commissions. Like, I would get 5 to 10 commissions a year. And now I'm lucky to get one. And it's just because the costs have got outrageous. And I no longer get them. I still have my portfolio. A matter of fact, I was just texting Andy a minute ago, and I was really pleased to see that he was going, because it's somebody I could hang out with, because I know what Barb likes to do, and usually we're engrossed with family. Okay, so Luke is there. He usually has a table. Luke Foster, coming from the Geek Brunch Buddies way back when. But he's not going to be there because he's working at Heroes Aren't Hard to Find store. That's not his full-time job, but he's helping him because the owner is going to be at Heroes Con. So we'll see him at night, but not at the con, and he won't be tabling. And then Keith Cunningham we usually see because he's tabling, but he's not going because money was tight this year. And we see Daryl, and Daryl's not going. Daryl, since he got his dog, you know, he hasn't been going to a lot of cons like he used to. He takes care of his dog, which, you know, I don't blame him. We take ours to a hotel, and she goes there. She spent a lot of time in a hotel because of what's been going on lately, but not a lot of time. Just sometimes weekends and such like that. No Keith Knutson this year, no Alan. I mean, that's crazy to not have a con with Alan. Alan is New Mutant has always been like fantastic to hang out with at a con. I love that guy. We see Micah and Claire, but I don't know if we'll see them at the con. They live there. So does Luke. So yeah, it's going to be a little different this year, and I am going to Baltimore to see Bill this year. So I'm going to Heroes and Baltimore. Barb's not going to Baltimore, but I am going to Baltimore, and I will be able to meet a lot of the Nerdy Legion guys who I've talked to a lot, but never actually got to meet in person. And I'm sure Bill and I will be going out to dinner with them and such. Oh, that's interesting. Barb just put a bird cam. Oh, maybe she took it down. I hope she took it down. But it looked like somebody knocked the wasp thing down. Because we've been having a lot of yellow jackets and paper wasps. And usually the paper wasps, they're harmless in our deck. But those yellow jackets, man, they are aggressive bastards. Yeah. Don't like the wasps. Don't like them one bit. But anyway, back to the con. As I get older, too, I've traditionally not spent all my time at the con. You know, I'm looking like 4 hours a day, and the rest of the time is usually outside the con. And one thing I noticed at the last two cons is that even with my orthotics, well, I've got a fat ass. I'm fatter than I was by about 10 pounds, and it makes a difference. But when you're on a concrete floor, and I feel this even when we go to Target because it's concrete, it is brutal on your lower back, you know? So, like, I'll try to, like, sit down at the tables or do stuff and look at comics and stuff if I get tired. So I'll like budget myself around. As far as what I'm looking for, I won't be looking at any commissions unless there's something I go across and there's an amateur person that's drawing and they're $40 or less, then I will get something if I like it. I might get a couple t-shirts this year, just because I've gotten lax on t-shirts and I need to get rid of some t-shirts and to get some new ones, but I want to do that. Let's see what else. Well, I am going to get some comics, but I can't tell you what I'm looking for because I am such a all over the place guy. I will say that my Hulk 181 and Punisher 129 is, they've costed me out. I am not going to get those books. I just can't see spending thousands when I'd rather spend $1,000 on another 1,000 books. I don't know. It's on 500 books or something. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather get more and experience more than experience less and have that, even though that's, in my age, it's probably worth the investment to get books like that. I would like to see some funny books. I will be looking for more like Richie Rich or stuff like that, Harvey related. I would love to have a Happy Days number one, a Monkees number one. Just got I Love Lucy number, you know, in the four color comics. I would like to get some four color comics. I'd like to get some more DC Tomahawk. I do need to have some more Weird Western. I think I'm missing like four issues that are non-Jonah Hex. I am missing one Jonah Hex. I found that out when I was talking to Bill. So that will be one of my targets. It's not the expensive ones. I got those out of the way. Well, it depends on what you say is expensive. It's not Jonah Hex's first appearance. I have that one. And I'm glad I got... I've been lucky getting things for cheaper prices before things got like outrageously expensive, and maybe the market will come down at some point and I will get the books that I would like to have in my collection. But I'll be looking at a lot of dollar boxes and I will check to see if tomorrow's treasures is there and hit them on day one. The other thing I'm looking for is my DC Digests. I would love to get some more of those, even though I don't want to read them because they're so goddamn small. I would like to complete those. Gonna go to Mertz at least once. I know that. Yeah, I'm just looking for a relaxing time. Hopefully, not get sick. I probably will wear a mask, not at the con, but at the airport. But it probably won't do me any good because my wife won't wear one unless she knows that people are sick. But I don't like to get sick, man. And I've had a rough bout of sickness if you've listened to this podcast. And I just don't like to get sick because it is hell getting it out of my system, the cough. It is, I mean, we're talking about a month. Normal people, I think, takes a week. But yeah, that's where things are. I have been enjoying my Fridays off. I've kept up with comic maintenance for the most part. I've fallen a little bit behind because of a trip recently, but I have used my Fridays to do chores and mow the lawn and do things like that. So I do have my weekends, which I really appreciate. And then on Fridays, like I go to the dentist, I do all the doctor's appointments. Had to go to a neurologist. I've been able to schedule my appointments on days that I have off. I do think about retirement a lot. And I'm like, well, if I cut back on these comics, I could. And like right now is opportune time for DC and Marvel to cut back. Because I could get 90% of it available on digital, which I'm paying for anyway. But I just can't cut the cord yet. I just can't. I just love the medium. But the things I don't like is the merge. I hate the merging boxes. I merged 10 short boxes of back issues I've obtained. And when I'm going through that process, all I want to do is read. Like, I'm like, I got to read this. I got to read this. And I end up reading like 10 books instead of like doing the work. Yesterday, I read a lot of things that came in from my comic shop because there are publications that I can't get from Lunar, because it's like Philbo and all that stuff. And I enjoy those quite a bit. So that I bought a lot of books recently for my comic shop in that piggyback. A lot of Marvel Comics Presents, that's one series I'd like to finish. I got a lot of the Sam Keith books that he drew covers for. Some of them were interiors, some of them weren't. I've been reading some of those. They're not the greatest, but they are fun. They feel like a niche. Like when I'm in the mood for an anthology and some short stories, they definitely fill in that niche. And I do enjoy those. But that's where I'm at. And I hope to get back on track. I'd really like to bring back Mike M's Collector's Corner because that was so much fun, and I'd like to bring back DC Noise to talk about DC Comics, especially because I read like almost all the New Guardians, and I'm one issue away from reading DC's Rick Veitch Swamp Thing, so I'll be caught up to read the new stuff. And that's been incredible. Like, I didn't even snap. I had just coincidentally read Invasion because of Rob's observations, and that led me to another podcast, which is Does It Come in Chromium, to read New Guardians, which had an Invasion crossover, which was very interesting. And also, I was reading Swamp Thing, and coincidentally, I found out that it was the invasion that killed Swamp Thing, so he was going through time. So that is just nuts how all that thing stuff coincidentally. So one of them I heard I wanted to reread because of observations. I read them when it was coming out and it wasn't all that fresh, and it was Todd McFarlane, so I wanted to read it. The other one I read because of Does It Come in Chromium, and I wanted to experience that again because, to tell you the truth, all I could remember was like two mem three members. I remembered Ram, the computer guy from Japan. I remembered the guy from Portugal. I can't remember his name. Extremo, I can't remember his name, and I remembered Floro or Flora Man, who was in there, and Harbinger, but I couldn't remember any of the rest. And I remembered the diplomatic immunity guy from South Africa that would use the word Kaffir. Made me always think about Lethal Weapon, but I didn't remember any of the plot or how they were an invasion. They really don't accomplish a lot. And I didn't remember that it involved the AIDS virus, like an HIV being HIV positive, which affected three of the six members. Like that's insane when you think about it, like right off the bat, like I think it was issue one. Where they get bit by hemoglobin, or I can't remember what his name is, and he was carrying that. He was a vampire guy that was carrying the virus, and he affected Jet, Harbinger, and Extrano. I think his name is Giorgio or something like that. And Jet became full-blown AIDS. The other two were just HIV positive at the time. I think Harbinger got it out of her system by issue 8 or 7. Like somehow, I don't know if it was their powers or what happened, or when Jet passed, like their link, because her and Jet were linked. If she was cured, but she's no longer HIV positive. But I can't remember his name. I gotta look it up. He's the he almost like was had magic powers, but they kind of sucked until he found a crystal skull. Yes, a crystal skull, like in the Crystal Skull, Indiana Jones movie. But New Guardians. Guardians. DC Comics. So I'll just get you the members so I get the names right. 'Cause Betty Clawman's interesting. She's an Aborigine, which just is in dream space, and she is in Extrano's brain. Like, they use her very little, very little. Like she's not even a member, in my opinion. Her name is Betty Clawman. Extrano is the guy from Portugal, who is a gay man. Floronic Man is been around for a while. Gloss is a new character from China. Harbinger is Harbinger from Crisis on Infinite Earths, who has a link to Jet. And Jet is there, and then Ram is from Japan, and then they include Thomas Kalmaku, who is the, was the sidekick, if you will, of Hal Jordan in Green Lantern comics early on, but he turned down the power. And then there's the evil guy, which I can't remember his name. Let's see if they have it in here. They don't. But they were the chosen that came out of the millennium. And God, I wish I could know what that character's name was, the villain. He's from South Africa, but he's a racist, and he thinks the white is the ultimate power. But I forgot about the AIDS virus, and then I forgot why they were put together in the first place, which is so weird, because they were meant to evolve the new race of human beings, and they don't have sex with each other, so it's very weird. It sort of talks about that in the first issue, and maybe a little in the second, and then never again. So it's so weird. It's like Steve Englehart was going that direction, and then when Kerry Bates took over, he's like, screw that. You have Joe Staton art, but it's been an amazing ride. And in the second issue, they fight Snowflame, who gets powers based on cocaine. I can't believe this write-up, though, does not include the villain guy. Because he was one of the chosen, but turned his powers down like Tom Kalmaku did. So I would even consider him a member, because he was chosen too, but turned it down, just like he did. But anyway, what a journey this has been. I still got two more issues to go. The Swamp Thing one was incredible, because I saw him go back in time to World War II and Unknown Soldier, Sergeant Rock and the Easy Company, Enemy Ace, although it was referred to because he goes back in World War I on another issue. And I didn't see G.I. Combat that I remember, but there was somebody else he ran into. I can't remember, but it was amazing. And then he goes back in time to the West, and you see Jonah Hex, you see Batlash, Madam 44, Johnny Thunder, who's with Madam 44. They're like a couple in that book. Jason Blood is going, like, he appears in all the time periods, because he goes back to the days of Camelot. And I think the final issue is Camelot before Rick Veitch said, screw you guys, I am out of here, because you're not going to let me take him, Swamp Thing, to the days of Jesus Christ, which is the current arc that we're going to read in Swamp Thing 2028, which is going to be amazing. But yeah, that journey's been a heck of a journey. And then you had like a standalone issue where Abby pulls the plug on her husband. And yes, I say husband, because her husband's in a coma. I don't think they ever got officially divorced. And now she's wanted for murder. So that it is really crazy. The series is absolutely bonkers and entirely interesting. And then another thing I've been doing digitally is I started Superman the Triangle Era, because if you actually search on the app for Superman Triangle Era, you could start reading from issue one, and it'll just take you through the issues. The other thing I wanted to point out on the app that's a game changer for me, and it's going to change how I would still buy some of the DC Finest books, but they've been appearing. Like, some of them, they only have like five of the whole offering, but the fact that they're starting to appear on the Ultra app is very promising. Lost a little bit of the recording there because my wireless mic lost battery charge. So I will continue, and I'll be back in a few minutes with the books that I read, which I'm really behind on. I was starting to catch up, and then I got really bad. So I'll try to do 2 weeks, but it depends on the quantity. I might only do one. So I'll be right back. And I'm back, and we're going to be talking about books from December 1st of 2025 to December 7th of 2025. You can see I've gotten really far behind. The 4 out of 5s I gave to Stranger Things Season 1 and Night of the Comet Rewatch. We had a total of 19 comics. One Warrant, two Vortex, one Valiant, one Rebellion, 5 Marvel, 2 Kickstarters, 2 Image, 1 Floating World, and 4 DC. So that is a lot, a lot of distribution, but not a lot of comics. So there are a total of 19. We'll start at the 4 out of 5s. We have DCKO, Superman versus Captain Atom. I said it was a really good fight between two very powerful heroes. And I spelled heroes wrong. And DCKO Heroes and Villains. DCKO number 2. The heroes and villains are slugging it out. Shows a big fight scene with Lex and Superman. DCKO Night Fight number 1 is really good issue as Batman comes back to take on Dick and his Robin, Inc. Dan Mora draws a hell of an issue. We got Judge Death 2025. Mega Special number 1. Some dark Judge stories. He really wants control of Judge Anderson. Lady Savage number 1. This is a Kickstarter. Lady Savage breaks off her marriage and goes back to the jungle and has a run-in with a saber-toothed tiger that killed her mother. I'm a sucker for jungle comics. That's why I Kickstarted it. Valiant Beyond, Exo Manowar number 1. It's what if Arik was a road warrior in Road Warrior times. We got Black Kiss 7 and 8, continuing the story of Dagmar, Beverly, and Cass Pollock. Cass gets the film, but then Dagmar knocks him out and takes the movie. Cass infiltrated a sex club to get the film. We have Dr. Aphra, Volume 1, 9 through 13. This Dr. Aphra has become one of my favorite Star Wars books. Disney should give her a series because they could take the script right from the comics. This immortal Rur Jedi story arc with the bidding was awesome. And then goes through Invader and the murder droids turning on Aphra. Immortal Rur versus Darth Vader, and Vader wins. So that was fun. DC Marvel, Batman, Deadpool, Constantine, Doctor Strange, and Nightwing, Wolverine. That's the Laura. Were excellent. Those are the two that I liked. Batman, Deadpool was good. Did not care for Harley, Hulk, or Miss Marvel, Static. They were short, but cool. That's what I said. Vampiress Camilla, a lot of great short horror stories. Strange Girl 1 and 2 from Image Comics. Started a reread of Strange Girl from Image Comics. This is about the Rapture, which takes a young girl's family, and she is left behind to live amongst the others left behind and demons. She survives many years and uses her magic to escape with her demon friend from the red demon side to the blue demon side. Very interesting comic, if you like reading about the Rapture. Fangers number 3. This is a Bad Bug Kickstarter. Several on the bus went to a vampire home. They claimed to be wanting to help them and send their werewolf daughter to help them. This is a tourist bus that's sort of stranded in Vampire Town, and they got caught at night too. One of the group is loyal to the vampires, is going to betray the team. Such a great series. And the 5 out of 5 is Vengeance is for the Living, number 4. The conclusion to Vengeance is for the Living was great. And Alex Delaney, I love you, man. You're so good at what you do. I wish there was more that you could put out. We then get into the week of December 8th through December 14th. It's going to take a while here because it's a lot. The three out of fives were Let It Snow and After the Hunt. The four out of fives were The Bayou, Wolf Roof Man. That's based on a true story. The Roses, which is like sort of a remake of The War of the Roses. And then Holy Trinity was a 5 out of 5. That was a Western, which I really loved. Let It Snow, I think, was about a serial killer in like the Ukraine or somewhere. I don't know. At a snow resort. After the Hunt was, I think, a hunting thing. The Bayou was about drug-infested alligators, if I remember correctly. So we have a total of 30 comics, really good distribution. One Zenoscope, one Valiant, one Massive, 7 Marvel, 2 Kickstarter, 1 Iron Age, 1 4 Image, 1 Floating World, a 4 Digital Phantom Press, DC 4, Blood Moon 1, Bad Idea 2, and Ahoy 1. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We have Vendetta, Holy War, Holy Vindicator, number 1. My only issue of Vendetta, which seemed cool, but was in the middle of a story. Story started off grounded, but the more I read it, it became more supernatural. That part I didn't care for. The book was in the 90s, but then came out recently by Floating World Comics. We have Grim Fairy Tales Halloween Special Event 2025. It sets the stage for upcoming King Dracula series. It has a lot more great pinups. Deadhead, number 1, published through Massive. This reminds me of Exquisite Corpses, but not nearly as good. It's like a slaughter fest of serial killers. Art is fun. Immortal Batman 3 and 4. I forgot to take credit for those two. I think. I forgot. Yeah. That was 3. That's 4. And then 2 more, so I got 6. So I read 32 comics that month. Immortal Batman 3 and 4 takes on the Riddler. The book written as if the reader can solve the riddles, which is sort of interesting, but a pain in the ass also. The crash lands into the planet where he takes... He then crash lands onto a planet where he takes on a version of Poison Ivy. It looks like Freeze is next. As the series has gone on, I've lost sort of interest in that. Stain 0, 1, 2, and 4. It's an anthology of outlaw comics, an alien zombie story. A Faust-like superhero saves a reporter from vampires. A drive-in is raided by men in masks. And a little voodoo brings zombies on the screen to life. Tim Tyler, Michael Buckelman, David Berber, and Jovi Hill. The covers by Frank Bruner. So that was a lot of fun. Dr. Aphra, Chaos Agent, number 3 through 5. Dr. Aphra helps Han go to Ill Alien to verify an object he has and finds the original. She and Chewie save a prince by letting the black Kirsten take him based on his wishes. Then she goes to rescue her sister. First appearance? Question mark. Starved Rock, number 1. That's from Blood Moon. This is some hunters kill a buck they were not supposed to, and they get attacked by monsters and forest rangers. We have Cowboys of the Moon Mesa, also one I forgot to take. That's an Oni. So I got to add that one. Oni. So I read 33 comics. Forgot to take credit for that one. That's a property. Never in my life did I see the animated series, but the comic is a hell of a lot of fun, especially if you dig westerns. Planet Death number two, a soldier kills a spider alien that's protecting its kids and then tries to rescue fellow humans, but they betray him. Beautifully drawn story is just average for a sci-fi story, but larger than life art. Scavenger number two, Scavenger finds some humans that are alive and they know he is infected but able to control his symbiote. They go rescue the girl's brother, but he gets infected and it is on his way to the safe base to destroy him. That's the brother, by the way. He's infected now. Valiant Beyond, all new Harbinger number two. Thought the second issue all was excellent. Black Sheep is kicking everyone's ass, but then the rookies step in. Action Comics 1088 to 1090. This book has so much heroic innocence, and Mark Waid and Partridge do such a fantastic job with these Superboy stories. Then throw in Captain Comet, and you have me. Star Wars Legacy of Vader. This book is key as it describes how Ben Solo joined the Knights of Ren and became Kylo Ren. Star Wars 33 and 34. I wonder if I did those. I think I did. Luke and Leia have to crash land and survive on a planet with Imperials chasing them. They manage to take down several stormtroopers and take down an AT-AT with poop and the use of parts to fix their ship. I really wonder if I meant poop. Staros and Lando do some gun smuggling involving pirates and the Empire and Jabba. Batman number three, Batman and Tim now being pursued by the police. Bruce tries to convince Damian to go to college, fight with the Riddler. Bring on the bad guys, Red Skull number one. Red Skull has to take out a Nazi associate to provide the soul to Mephisto. Also shows the dagger Sister Sorrow gathered from Mephisto. Really enjoying these one shots that have an ongoing story. Those are 4 out of 5s. So the 4 out of 5s were from Stain to bring on the bad guys. The last 3 out of 5 was Immortal Batman 3 and 4. We get to the 5 out of 5s. Cul-de-sac number three. The vampire bounty hunter is after them, but they manage to survive the attack on the way to Texas to meet the friends of their dead moms. Psychic Sam, this is a Kickstarter. It's like the Punisher, but he gets visions of the future murders and stops them before they happen. Then he finds out a serial killer is someone he knows. Everything that happened in issue one, should take better notes. I don't know what the hell I happened. That is not with this story, but definitely. Oh, that was Devil in America. Sorry. I crossed over lines. So this is the future, the Punisher that could see visions of a murder. He then finds a serial killer is someone he knows. Also has a banger of a surprise ending. You should be reading this, but that was a Kickstarter, so maybe you'll think differently. Devil in America, if you like Sopranos with supernatural twist, you will love Devil in America. I just wish it would come out more frequently because I don't remember everything that happened in issue one. And I said, should take better notes. Strange Girl 3 through 6. Strange Girl and her demon friend steal a car from a biker gang, and her demon friend gets hurt pretty bad. They end up going to her house when she was a little girl. When the rapture happened, Strange Girl is amazing. Her and Tim, the neighbor during the rapture, and Demon go find a fresh body of water, and a religious cult thinks she is an angel, but imprisons the demon and Tim. She tries to help a woman. The lead priest wants them all dead, but the demons attack the base. We got Thanksgiving number one. A family gets together for Thanksgiving and they find out the game show host is a serial killer. In other words, one of the family is a game show host. So that wraps up this episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I want to thank you for listening, and thanks for supporting the show. We will talk to you again very, very soon. You can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter and, sorry, X and Blue Sky. I'm more active on Blue Sky by far. But Twitter, I stay around because there's some legacy friends there that haven't moved over. And there's some creators over there that I still follow. And my auction is there for Media Mick, and I still support those auctions. So I'm still over on X. I like it too because it has news on my university and the sports teams. And I also follow the WNBA and stuff over there, and the NBA. But you can reach me also at DCNoisePodcast.com, where you'll find episodes of Geek Brunch and Mike M's Weekly Reads. You can sometimes see me on Not Near Mint Show on YouTube. I have like 3 episodes in. Haven't been on in a while because I haven't had time. That's about where I'm at. And on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast and DC Noise Podcast, I post all the episode threads on there. So thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.